Psalm 11. Psalm 11. If you don't have a Bible, there are some in the back. You just slip up your hands. There'll be others from the room who can get one for you. Psalm 11, verse 3. Psalm 11, verse 3. I'm going to be reading from the New King James, a very simple verse. Psalm 11, verse 3. Anybody need a Bible? Cecil has some. Very good. Cecil, right back there. Thank you. Psalm 11, verse 3. Reading from the New King James says this. Are you all there? Everybody there? All right. Psalm 11, verse 3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Read that out loud with me, would you please? Psalm 11, verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? As we look to what's happening in our country right now, we were birthed with Christian perspectives, a foundation of the Word of God, a dedication of our country to the Lord. I believe we were called as an exceptional nation with a Christian heritage, a Judeo-Christian heritage, ethics and morality. That doesn't mean our country is perfect. That doesn't mean that we have had perfect things happen throughout all our days. But if you ask me, I believe this is the best country that there's ever been on the face of the earth. Where there is more freedom to worship the Lord, more freedom to distribute the Word of God. I didn't say America was perfect. But the Bible says if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I believe we're in an hour and in a day when you listen to the news every day where there is an onslaught against the foundations of our country. People don't even like to go back to our heritage. People don't always even like our heritage. But when you call into mind the truth of what's not taught often in the Bibles anymore, or in the schools anymore, there was a clarion call that went up and down the East Coast, no king but King Jesus, when the time of tyranny was being fought against with England. I want to go through several scriptures with you. But I want you, first of all, to understand this isn't just rooted in American history. What we're going to do today is rooted in the Bible. When you take a look at Abraham, how many remember Abraham sought God and entreated God, if there be 50 in the city, would you destroy that city? If there be 40, 30, 20, he kept interceding. And he shows us a pattern of how to go to God that righteousness might prevail in the land and that God would have mercy. You find this with Elijah, you find it with Daniel, you find it with Nehemiah. Nehemiah was so grieved for his people as he was in Persia and in captivity. He was a second generation person in captivity, and he had heard tell of what was happening back in Israel. God had brought judgment on Israel. The people had been taken into captivity. And then when he discovered what truly was happening, he wept, he cried, he fasted, he prayed, and he sought God to heal his land. And then he put action to it as well. Paul in the New Testament, over and over again, New Testament believers fasted, prayed, and sought God. We when we go to God, we go to him with praise. We go to him in prayer. And we go to him with persistence. Praise, prayer, persistence. In this room, we have strategic prayer partners, people that continue to pray for all of us and those in our neighbors and those in our communities. I'll finish with a story, but let's go through several things together. Pat, if you'll put them on, I'm going to quickly go through this. Liberty and freedom is God's idea. I know the 4th of July is coming. This isn't just a holiday point. This is a foundation for where we're going. Liberty and freedom is God's idea. Luke 4, verse 18. Luke 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord, Jesus said, is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim what?
Liberty.
I said what?
Liberty.
Liberty to those who are oppressed. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now some of you might be thinking, wait a minute, I thought we were usually into songs by this time. We're going to do things a little differently this morning. We're going to do this call to fall. We are joining in with hundreds of thousands of believers all across the country right now this morning and tens of thousands of churches who are seeking God and interceding on behalf of our country. Then we're going to have a delightful opportunity to hear the word of the Lord through Pastor Sherry. And then we're going to have our time of singing before the Lord, because our hearts will be more prepared for worship. Galatians 5, verses 1 and 13. Stand fast, therefore, in the what? Liberty, by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Say that with me. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The people He has chosen as His own inheritance. There was such a document, and we love it and are grateful for it, called the Declaration of Independence. It was in Philadelphia, June 7 of 1776, in the Continental Congress, when Richard Henry Lee of Virginia introduced this resolution. Resolved that these United Colonies are, and of right, ought to be free and independent states, that they're absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown. July 4, 1776. It came out as this in the document, a little later in the document. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their, I said they are endowed by their
Creator
with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. And all of that was based on right relationship with God, our Creator, based on His word. And it went on, we therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions. Oh, well, the early church fathers weren't Christians. They weren't people that looked to God. Really? You take a look through the founding documents, you find it this way throughout nearly every founding document. You find Thomas Jefferson, who wrote about the separation of church and state, he was writing that letter to a group of pastors identifying why the state should not interfere with the rights of the church to worship God. But it's all been twisted around. With the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they're absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. For the support of this declaration, watch, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honors. And if you will do a study back into our originating documents, that is how they referred to God and our Lord Jesus Christ as divine providence. That was not some sort of absenteeism relationship or deism with God. A day to pray. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Some scriptures this morning that give framework. Therefore, Paul encouraged and urged and commanded, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And 2 Chronicles 7:14 and 15, my people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. How many know our land needs healing? Now my eyes will be open, my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. How should we pray, church? With humility and brokenness before God, with grief over having turned away from our Lord, with a deep cry to find His face, His presence, His mercy. As we go to prayer and repent of sins, we're not doing this for political purposes. We're not doing this to achieve a political party celebration. We're doing this to find the face of God and ask for His blessing in our land. I've said so many times, it's not Democrat, Republican, or independent, doesn't matter. That's not the issue. The issue is J-E-S-U-S. We come to God to turn from our own sinful ways, and we resolve to return to the ways of God. James 4, verse 10 says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." What I want to do is spend some time, even if it's only 5 minutes, I want us to go to our knees, those of you who can. If you can't, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and sit in your chair. We're going to, first of all, go to the Lord quietly. I'll lead us in prayer at the beginning here. And then just pray quietly for a minute or two, and then I'm going to lead us in a congregational prayer. So if you can go to your knees, I urge you to do so now. The Bible talks about on our knees as one of the most important praying positions before the Lord. If you can get down and not get up, you go ahead and sit right there. Father, we thank You that we come as Your people today who know that we are needy, we are thirsty, we are longing for You to intervene in our country. Lord, we're longing for You in our own lives. And Lord, even as we come this morning, we come repenting of those things where we've turned aside, where our thoughts aren't right, our heart attitudes aren't right, where our actions toward others for whom we were called to love have become unloving. Lord, where we've violated Your word and turned aside, and we ask You, Jesus, to forgive us. First, we come for our own lives. We repent before You. We turn around. We go another way. We confess as You've told us to and acknowledge our sin. You've told us in the scripture that if we confess our sin, You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we come to You today to do so in Jesus' name. Now, I urge you, right where you are, quietly, you don't have to make a big thing out of it, but if there's something in your heart where you know you have sinned against the Lord, I want you to take a moment right now and ask the Lord to forgive you quietly within your own heart between you and God, and then we'll pray together. Lord, we commit these things to You from our own lives and ask You, Lord, for Your mercy that triumphs over judgment. And now, Lord, by faith, we receive Your forgiveness. We're not going to hold on to shame and condemnation, but we come as a congregation. We receive Your forgiveness. We come to You, Lord, because You're the God who loves us and does all things well. Jesus, we thank You for going to the cross, for dying for us, for being buried for us, for resurrecting for us. We thank You, Jesus, for sending Your Spirit who leads and guides and teaches. Thank You, Lord, that we get to be a family together in Your presence. Now, if you can possibly turn around over on the screen, we're going to have a congregational prayer. And I invite you to join with me as we pray. I've marked it as my part, and then there's the congregation part. So if you can turn around and remain kneeling, that's great. If you are not unable to do that, go ahead and turn around and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this is my first. Heavenly Father, Lord, You are good. Your steadfast love endures forever, and Your faithfulness to all generations. Congregation.
We come to You, our Creator, our God, our Lord Jesus Christ. You are God of the Old and the New Testament.
Lord, today we unite with fellow Christians across America from many denominations and backgrounds, falling to our knees before You, asking You to help us humble ourselves not only today, but every day.
Hear our prayers, forgive our sins, and lead us. Amen.
We've been a proud and arrogant people and nation. You have blessed us, but we have taken Your blessing for granted.
You are worthy of our love and devotion, but we have forgotten You and ignored Your word. Forgive us, Lord.
We have forgotten You, forsaken You, the spring of living water. We've chosen to love the world and the things of the world.
As Your people, forgive us, Lord.
You call us to be a light, to live holy lives, to walk in Christian love and carry you and your gospel to the nations.
We would have prayed to share your word and love with our neighbors, or we've been complacent. Forgive us, Lord.
You command us, Lord, to bring up our children in your way, but we haven't. Our youth are leaving the faith. Jesus, too often we have been complacent, apathetic, lazy, disobedient, and unfaithful to your call.
You desire us to be loyal to our families, our culture, to preserve truth, and all that is godly and pure. But though we haven't been, forgive us, Lord.
Instead of changing the world has changed us. We've failed to be the salt of the earth, to lift you up and to be the light of the world. Forgive us, Lord, we pray. Our forefathers, with their love and devotion to their children and to future generations, sacrificed their lives for us. Yet we've become the me generation. We elect leaders to give us benefits.
We are all
lives
living for you, our families, helping our fellow
forgive us, Lord. Let's all say that together. Forgive us, Lord. Now our nation's under judgment. Natural disasters, war. Some other nations absolutely hate us. International terrorists have penetrated our borders. We have economic collapse and turmoil, and preachers and politicians are seen for acts of corruption and immorality. Our jails and prisons are filled to overflowing. Our adults and children are enslaved by sin, sex, drugs, and alcohol. Forgive us, Lord. Abortion and sexual immorality have become protected rights. Evil is called good, and good is called evil. We've allowed man to define marriage instead of you. We are proclaiming even freedoms for those things that are against your word. And we ask you to forgive us, Lord, for the lust, the division, the murder of our young. Lord, we cry out to you today. Hear our cry. We seek your face. We turn from our wicked ways. Heal our land. Forgive us our sins and cleanse us. Revive your churches and our nation, we pray. Set our pulpits aflame with righteousness, Lord. Purge compromise from our pews and cause your word to go forth to every city and town in America. Forgive us, Jesus. Make your people
salt and light again. Raise up godly leaders in church and state and grant that we might be quiet and peaceful lives.
We return wholly to you. Return, Lord, to us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before you go to the end, Pat. Lord Jesus, we come to you and we ask you to have mercy on every state and every city and every community, including our own. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, for covenant breaking, and forgive us, Lord Jesus, for those sins of alcoholism and the drug taking that infiltrates our land. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, for being a people who look to escape from you rather than run toward you. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, for the sexual sin and idolatry. Forgive us, Lord, for stealing of children for sex trades, and Lord, the wickedness that has taken place. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, for the homosexuality, and forgive us, Lord Jesus, for the sins of adultery and fornication. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, for stealing and theft, and Lord, forgive us for not being a people who can be relied to their word, that our word is no longer our bond. Lord, we've broken covenant with you on every hand, and we ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive us. And we do, again, say it with me, church, we return wholly to you. Return, Lord Jesus, to us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And now, by faith, we receive your mercy, your forgiveness, and your new day for America. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may stand or seat, have a seat in your chairs. Let me finish with a simple story that I heard this morning. Sometimes we think we're too far. We've gone too far. How many know that the Lord is good and greatly to be praised? And you know that mercy triumphs over judgment. Are you sure of that? 1742, 96 French sailing vessels, naval vessels, showed up outside Boston, dedicated to absolutely destroying every community between Boston and those in Georgia, all the way up and down the coast. 96 vessels, 13,000 sailors dedicated to the destruction of the people in our land and our ways. The governor of the state had no other alternative, but he got everybody involved in fighting a battle. He called them all to fight a battle that was the right kind of battle, because he set a day for everybody to gather in the churches for prayer and fasting and crying out to God to heal our land. I believe the date was October 16th, 1742. The pastor in the front of the congregation began to raise his hands and cry out to God. Oh God, heal our land. Oh God, forgive us of our sins. Oh God, have mercy, because we have enemy all around us who wants to destroy us. Oh God, and he began to cry out, you sink their vessels. Oh God, fight for us. Oh God, we stand against this, but Lord, have mercy on your people. And a little while, it was a glorious day, but in a little while, rain, dark clouds, thunder began to surround that church and the entire region, and the winds began to kick up. And supernaturally, there was no one in a bell tower, but those heavy bells like they kept in those bell towers, the bells began to ring. And when the pastor heard that, he raised his hands again and he said, Lord, we believe you are calling us to hear your voice, and we thank you for having mercy on us. At those very moments, out on the harbor, the tempest and the storm took virtually every sailing vessel, every naval vessel was lost in the battle or in the storm. 1,000 soldiers out of 13,000 were left. The admiral and the vice admiral of the French navies killed themselves, and the rest turned around and limped back to France. And they had one person to thank, Jesus. They had one to thank for having mercy. And you sit there and you go, does God hear my prayers? Does God hear any of these prayers? Is any of this worthwhile? And the answer, church?
Yes.
God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Pastor Sherry.